This is Low by Lit. On today's episode, I'm talking to Beach Sloth. It's a podcast by me, Tyler Byrne, a fan of literary spaces on the internet. Mind you, we recorded this right after that CEO of United Healthcare was killed. So you're going to get a bit of that feeling. We talk about that a little bit. I usually don't talk about the news. So it's interesting. You know, I've been recording a lot of these shows. I've recorded so many. Because here's what happened. I go to Catchfest last year. And after I got back from Catchfest, there was a bit of a drought. There's a bit of a dry spell for me. I didn't record that many shows. And so coming into this new year, I'm just like, banging them out. I have like 6 or 7 in the bank right now. I'm going to record another one tomorrow. So a lot of people are going to be sitting around waiting for these episodes to drop. And I don't have a plan. I just like, if I'm interested, I'll drop it. If I'm not interested, I'll wait. There's no like hardcore plan for me. And now I feel conflicted because when I don't have any episodes up, I feel guilty and I feel like I don't know like who I am. I feel like I lose a sense of my identity if I'm like not recording episodes. I'm like, who am I and what is my worth to like society in general? Beach Sloth is an OG, one of the original alt-lit people from the very beginning. Beach Sloth used to have a blog. Beach Sloth used to be like this historian who captured, you know, moments and nights of hangouts, of readings, of people and places, of times past. I remember one of the first times I heard about Beach Sloth. It was Scott McClanahan mentioned him on an episode of Other People with Brad Listy. If you don't know who Beach Sloth is, I don't know if this is the pod for you. If you know who he is, I don't know if this is the pod for you. I don't know who this pod is for. Beach Sloth is very cool. Very collected. I really like this episode. I think you guys will like it. My name's Tyler. This is Low Violet. Thanks for listening. Big dig, everyone. See you guys later. Why Beach Sloth? Why the name Beach Sloth?
My first job was a lifeguard, so it's kind of like a homage to that. So, and also I try to be lazy, even though I'm usually not lazy. I think people tell me I should be less lazy.
When did you start your blog?
2010, which feels really insane to say that out loud, but yeah, 2010. Yeah, I started it with music. Then it went to literature, then it went to music, and I feel like now I kind of do both a little bit, so.
When did you go into literature?
I went into literature with Zanga, which is really long time ago, so it's like live journal era sort of stuff.
Zanga?
Zanga, yeah, dude. It was like this really old-timey blog version. It was before even Blogspot, so it was like really, really early, and you could always like set your mood as like emotional or angry or sad or something of that.
Yeah, wasn't that before like MySpace?
Yeah, Zanga was before MySpace. Yeah, it was like really early. So yeah, that was the like pre-Beach Sloth era. So that's kind of where we were. And yeah, it was definitely like different. It felt very odd. I think I was reviewing like a lot of boredoms. A lot of like boredoms releases. I remember that distinctly.
When did you start getting into like the alt-lit people? And did you like, were you even writing about the people before it was termed alt-lit?
Yeah, so I was writing before that. I was writing about them before then. I forgot who was the person who named it that. I didn't come up with the name. Somebody else did, who was like really smart.
You saw it happening.
I saw it happening, yeah. And I think I joined it around the time that there was like, I think it was like Steve Rogenbach, Pancho Peligroso, and I guess Taolin, but Taolin still writes. The other two don't really write as much, to my understanding at least. So just like those two big names, and then everybody else was just kind of like following along in their footsteps, I guess.
Are you still in contact with Rogenbach?
I am not. I am not in contact with him. I know that's kind of a, that's a really good question.
As long as you have, you're friends with him.
Well, I was friends with him, and then he did stuff that I didn't like, and then I guess I kind of like, I don't know if it was like as big of a disavowal as other people, because I think some other people were like, you know, screaming it from the rooftops, and I think mine was more private with him, where I was like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I thought you were a different person than who you ended up being. So I think, I know there's like a whole bunch of like really angry tweets and stuff about it, but I think that was like around the time I got busy with like other things in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I could write like some crazy long blog post, but at that point I was already like writing books and doing other things and trying to buy a house and stuff and try to like be a normal human. And I was like, I don't know if I have time for like this, like call out. I'm just going to disavow him and be like, yeah, FYI, I'm disappointed. So yeah. So that's kind of where we ended
up. So who's the first person you started writing about?
Honestly, I think it was probably like Pancho Peligroso, probably.
Okay. Once you get into the Shabby Dollhouse people, those are my people.
Shabby Dollhouse people are awesome. They're like they're like everywhere though. That they like every time I read they have like a really awesome Substack that I love. And every time I read their Substack, they're like, we just got back from Romania and mm-hmm. we're in the Czech Republic now. And I'm like, you guys are so cool. Like, that's so awesome. And I don't think I talk to them as much. I don't talk to a lot of people as much as I used to, just because like I just got busier. Not in like a bad way. Like I love Lucy K. Shaw and all those, and Sarah Jean Alexander and all those other good people. Like they're all really nice people. I just ended up getting busy with life, and I think a lot of them ended up having the same thing happen to them too. So yeah, they're great people. I think like 2011 or 2012 roundabouts there, because that's when I started like having like GChat messages with like a whole bunch of people.
First, like go from writing about them on your blog to meeting them in real life.
I feel like some of them in real life were very different. Like, there's like a few people who I met in real life and I'm like, your online persona is like very scary or different. But like meeting them in real life, they were like as sweet as a like puppy dog. And I'm like, man, you come across as like really like very intimidating online. And
like then,
who? Like Blake Butler, and I'd say Blake Butler, a lot of his stuff is like very horror driven or like very violent and stuff. And a lot of the language he uses is pretty violent too, but he writes kind of more transgressive stuff than what I write. And then probably better example would probably be Michael Sedlinger, because I hung out with him a lot.
Yeah, he ran Entropy.
Yeah, he ran Entropy. He was one of the, and he did like a million other things, and all his books were like about like very depraved serial killers. And then I met him in person and like we just like ate ice cream and like had like such a nice time. Like this is like a really, really like decent human being. And I'm like, you write the most depraved stuff. I think
I've heard that about people that like write horror or like direct horror movies. Like they put all their negative shit like into the horror movie, but then they're like they're the nicest people.
Yeah, like he was super decent. He was like, I know he's gotten pretty big, so I'm really like pleased with where his like career trajectory's gone. It's gone gangbusters, and I couldn't be happier for him, which is fantastic. But yeah, I think there's like a lot of things with like a lot of horror writers or a lot of like violent writers where, yeah, they pour all of that darkness into their books. So I guess if you write about like rainbows and bunnies and kittens, you're probably like a really sick, sadistic person. So I don't want to like meet you, but I'll meet somebody who writes about like serial killers and stuff. That's
so
fine.
Like I went to your site and it's like no longer up, and I had to use the Wayback Machine to like even access it.
That actually has nothing to do with any literature stuff. So I have something that's like an ongoing personal situation. I ran into like money issues and I couldn't like afford, or I didn't want to like pay the upkeep for that website, because like hosting a website's expensive. I paid for, I usually paid for it like in advance, like by a few years, and then it came up again and I'm like, I don't actually have like the resources to support this right now. So
yeah, it's
it
like had a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, it's like kind of expensive. And I was like, and like when I first bought the domain, it was like it was pretty cheap, and then like it got more expensive. So I think I renewed it like 2 times, I want to say. And then the second time I renewed it was like definitely more expensive than the first time I initially purchased it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm okay with that. So I returned to Tumblr and stuff. And Tumblr's pretty good. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Blue Sky, which I know people have mixed feels on, but I like it.
Did you consider like crowdsourcing money to keep the site going?
I didn't really want to do that. So I thought about it, but I decided against it, because I'm like, you know, there's people who have like much bigger concerns than like being able to like keep a domain up. And I was tempted to like sell ad space. I'm like, nah, I don't really like doing that. I don't like having like paywalls or make you see ads. Like, I also know that like that anybody who would want to advertise on it, I'm like, you realize I write weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what you could sell here that anybody would be willing to buy.
When did you first get into writing before blogging?
Before blogging,
I'd like say in probably, school, were you like at school, you're like a writer?
I would say definitely. Probably like really early, because I think there's like one or two poems I've definitely submitted as Beach Sloth, where I'm like, I wrote this like when I was 10 or 11, and people were like, this was really good. And I'm like, I was like in elementary school. I was not even that old yet. So there's still, and there's so much backlog too. That's the other funny thing, where I'm like, there's like probably thousands of poems that I'll probably never publish. And
why?
It's just like, I'm not good at submitting stuff. I'm better at like writing stuff, and I'm like always forget to like submit stuff. So I have a good work ethic. I don't have a good like promotional ethic. I'm really bad with that.
So why don't you just like put it on your like Substack or something?
That's a good question. That is actually a really good question. That like literally never even occurred to me. Yeah, maybe some of it will go on Substack at some point. My Substack's like all music based right now, but I have fun with it. Like I definitely, it's not like a Pitchfork review or something. It's like pretty heartfelt, and it's usually really esoteric stuff where I'm like, this guy played sine waves for 2.5 hours and I loved it, but you know, it's not for everybody. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think there's even people who write to me where they're like, I love what you write about, but I tried to listen to it and I couldn't do it. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, I'm glad you tried it. You know, it's all right. I have esoteric tastes. I listen to weird stuff. I read weird stuff. I still read like a bunch of books that are like, there's still some really good books that come out like every year.
So who did you read when you were young?
I read Catch 22, which I loved. I loved that book. I read Huxley with like a Brave New World, which is, you know, pretty, I think I've read that book like a bunch of times. What was it? There's like one book that I think people call, what is it called? I think it's called The Get Up Kids and the Avocado of Doom. It's like this really goofy book that's like made for elementary school students. And it's, I remember recommending it to somebody and they were like, this is some East Coast bullshit. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I'm okay with that. Like I grew up there. So I'm fine with that. So Daniel Pinkwater, I think that's his name. So he writes like kind of like more surrealist stuff for like kids and stuff. So I guess that was like kind of my first introduction to like anything that would be considered like proper literature, and then it just kind of like went weirder from there. So I'd say that definitely like kind of encouraged my humor.
So when you went into college, what did you like major in?
I majored in history and political science, but neither of which actually show up in my writing at all, I don't think.
Do you not feel like a historian of like alt-lit?
You know, people have told me that, and I feel good that that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think some people do occasionally email me every like few years where they're like, can you take all these like posts down from your blog? Yeah, I'm gonna defend the people who ask me to do that because they're coming from a good place. So but they're like the first time I sniffed cocaine off a toilet seat and they're like, hey, I'm trying to become like a school librarian. Could you like take this blog post down of me? And I'm like, okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, it's okay. Like, or some people wrote short stories about getting arrested for vandalism and they're like, hey, I'm trying to get this marketing job. And I'm like, that's cool. So every like year, about once a year or so, I'll get like an email from somebody who's like, hey, I'm trying to become like a normal human being with like a normal person job. And I wrote under my name instead of an alias. And I'm like, you should have created an alias, man. Yeah. Like that really hooks you up.
Have you thought about creating a book of all your posts though? I mean, you've had the thought must have come across your mind.
It definitely has. I think like the last time I thought about it was I was watching the movie Her that and I think there's like one where his like AI girlfriend, spoiler alert if you haven't seen this movie from like a decade ago, but she creates like all these like letters and puts them together into a big book for him, and like that made me choke up. It's like, oh, that's so lovely. Like I will do that at some point. That's definitely going to happen. It would be like hundreds of pages.
Do you think you could like book. Just go off memory and like write your own like nonfiction just like account?
I probably could actually, and I've like I've been like tempted to do that. I definitely have like documentation of like the alt-lit scene from like my own perspective. That's like kind of more like my personal asides or like thoughts I had at the time versus like where what happened in the moment. Like, because so at some point that might come out. That will probably come out. I need to organize my thoughts on that because stuff happened and some of the stuff that I was like really optimistic or positive about, I'm like, eh, not so much. And then there's people too who had like a good like positive like trajectory and I'm like, you know, really happy about it. Some of whom have gone on to really cool do really cool things.
So what were you positive about that you're no longer positive about?
I'd probably say like a lot of the Boost House stuff or the Boosted, like that made me sad. It makes me sad to think of that. On the flip side though, like Michael Sedlinger and some of the other people that were involved in Entropy, like all of them had Janice, who is another person who worked with Michael. And there's like a bunch of other people. There was like a million people that worked on Entropy. So it was really sad that like got deleted or they just archived everything.
So have you kept in touch with Joseph Parker? Okay.
A little bit, and there's like a few other people who are part of Boost House who I like just knew. I like ended up knowing them like on a more personal level, and we'll have like exchanges every like few months or so, and I'm like, I'm glad you're doing well, I'm glad you're having like a good time. So
yeah. So did they consult you when they were first making Boost House?
No, they just kind of like went and did it and did their own thing. I was supposed to like live with them, apparently.
You're gonna live with them?
I was gonna live with like Boost House when they first started, when they were up in Maine, because that wasn't even far from where I was living. So I was
what
like,
year was that?
That might have been like 2012, 2013 was when I was probably gonna go there, because that was like after I had finished some school. And I was tempted to be like, all right, yeah, I can like take like a few months off and just do this art thing for a while. And at that point, at least, I did actually have like probably like another source of income. Like I did some other like online stuff.
What'd you do?
So I did some like writing. I did music reviews. I wrote for a few other websites at the time. So I had like, and then I also worked part-time just doing some like financing. So I worked in biotechnology bizarrely at that time. And that was like, I could work that remotely, which now that's like really common, but then it wasn't so common, but it was kind of nice that they gave me that option. I, it ended up not.
What would you do in biotechnology?
So I basically funded, I funded like startup companies in the Maryland, in the Maryland, in the state of Maryland.
Oh, did you have like, did you invest in Bitcoin?
No, I wish I, oh, wait, actually kind of, I'm going to give that a kind of, so I think like, I didn't buy a whole Bitcoin, but I bought one like in, I bought part of one in 2012 or so. And I used that like with like PayPal money or something. So I didn't even buy a full one. I bought like half of one. And then a few years later it popped off and I didn't realize I owned it. So I was like going through all my emails. I'm like, I think I have a Bitcoin somewhere. And it was like worth five or like 10 grand. And I'm like, oh shit. Like I was able to buy a car with that. So it was really nice.
Oh, did you, did you end up getting that money?
Yeah, I got money. I found like what my old password and stuff was. I sold it like years ago. So not anytime recent. Like I wish I had held on to it, but I needed money and a car to like,
oh, you got like 10,000.
Yeah. Holy, that was like, shit. Yeah. So I made like decent amount of money. So like, I know people are like, you could have held on to it longer. And I'm like, I kind of really needed the money then. So I don't feel that bad. And I bought it for like $300 or $400 and I sold it for like 10 grand like a half decade later. Holy, so shit. I don't like regret that. I'm like, that was awesome. Yeah. And I think the person who recommended I buy it was like kind of a sketchy person, so I didn't like trust them completely. So it's like, I'm only gonna put like a few hundred in this because they were super passionate about it. And I'm like, I'll buy half of a Bitcoin. I'm like, I'm not gonna buy a full one because even then it was like over $1,000. I'm like, I'm not spending that kind of money. I'll spend like a few hundred. And like at that point I had savings. And I was like, all right, I might as well just buy it and be good from that point. So yeah, it was crazy.
So you went into college for like political stuff in the history. How do you go from that to technology?
So I basically like wrote like brochures and like advertising material for companies that were located in Maryland. And I helped them find like tax credits or tax cuts and stuff, because it seemed like for a long time, any company that was based in Maryland or Baltimore, like they would just leave the state. And our goal was to try to keep people in Maryland or keep people in Baltimore. So we're like, we'll throw money at you. Like, stay, like, please don't leave. Like, like we want to keep you. So we would just throw money at them. And I think there were a few like really good pharmaceutical companies that came out of like our program. I think it was like semi-private, semi-public. It's now like 100% private because I think they spun it off and they like made it self-sustaining, which is awesome. But
did you ever like start your own magazine?
I've like thought of starting my own magazine so many times. Like I think with the most recent like Pew Pew of that CEO guy in New York. That was probably the most recent one.
Wait, what?
You know, with the CEO of United Health Corporation.
Oh yeah, I got shot. You're gonna start a magazine based off that.
Yeah, and he was gonna be like on the front cover or something.
You should, yeah, do that.
And I was like, every time this happens to a CEO, like I'll release another issue.
Yeah, I think
really dark.
I think Feral Dove is going to do an anthology of people writing about that or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating writing. I mean, I have to be honest, it like it's strange how like everybody is so like so came together on it, like of all it's like across all political spectrums too, which is crazy. And it makes, I don't know why we have to find optimism in it, which is like, man, we live in a pretty messed up society if we're like optimistic about that. And I'm like, on the other hand, seeing like the Kumbaya comment section and like a Ben Shapiro video is like, this is wild. Mm-hmm. where he like tried to have, it's like the left keeps celebrating death. And like, people are like, I've listened to you for a decade. And like, it's not a left issue. Like we can all be united on this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is this comment section? This is wild. Like this is so crazy. Yeah, so some writers, because I'm still friendly with like most writers, they'll send me memes about this. I'm like, that's so crazy that like everyone's so positive about this.
Have you like, do you think the guy was an assassin, like professionally trained, or just like a random guy?
That's a good question. I have no idea. It's utterly fascinating to me. And like the more they discover, the more mind-boggling it gets too, where like they're like, they found his backpack, but it was just filled with Monopoly money. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's just trolling you.
Yeah.
Like, man, he like you got owned. Like, and they shut down tips because like most police departments, they rely on tips from like the public. And like they turned off the tips line because like they just got spammed so bad. Because they're
for
like,
real?
He looks like, yeah, they're like, he looks kind of like this guy who runs like a really famous company. I think his name's Elon Musk. And they're like, all right, we're turning this off. This is like obnoxious. This is not helping us at all.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like really funny. It's weird that that brought everybody together. It's a very strange thing to have a kumbaya moment over, but you know, I'll take it.
How do you think the guy knew that he would be outside at that very moment, like by himself?
So I think basically like the way that I would describe it would be, a lot of these corporate like events, because I think he was like going to a shareholder meeting. Like if you're a CEO or something, there's like a certain level or caliber of hotel that you will stay at and that you will not go below that because you're kind of spoiled. So I think people are like, oh, he must have been like, you know, million level IQ. I'm like, no, I mean, they're really predictable people. Like people are inherently very predictable. And if he's going to be going to a shareholder conference that's like in this like hotel lobby, and if it, the hotel isn't like a 4 or 5 star hotel, he's just going to go to, he's just going to be in the nearest 4 to 5 star hotel. And I'm like, you guys are very predictable. Like you guys could like, if he stayed at a youth hostel, he probably would have been fine, but like mm-hmm. he's a CEO. So he has an ego and he has pride, and pride was his downfall, man. Like if you were a CEO and you're like, I'm going to like sleep in like the sewer, like, nah, you would have been safe, but no, you had to have the like 4 or 5 star experience with continental breakfast, like nice coffees, everything else. Like they're too predictable. Like that's like even something that like, if you're in government or anything or any, even like law enforcement, basic protocol is like, just vary your routine. Like I'm not in law enforcement for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. It's insane that they like, he was alone. Do you think he'd be around like a group of people?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's the other thing. It all felt like a lot of arrogance and hubris, where I'm like, I don't really feel bad for you. First of all, you were arrogant enough to like deny the healthcare benefits of like a third of all of the applicants.
Yeah.
And you thought you were like totally fine. And you probably did the same thing every single day, like, and you never thought twice about it. And like, even if you travel overseas or something, which I've traveled and stuff, and people tell you, like, even if you're like, not an important person, you could be like the least important person, like just change your like daily routine because you don't know what might happen. And I'm a little on the paranoid side of things. That's why I write as like Beach Sloth rather than under my real name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is your
name? I will remain anonymous on that.
Are you
one.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to remain anonymous. I'm going to, okay. Like, the thing is, my real name is actually very boring, so no one would ever find me anyway. But I need the extra anonymous, like, coverage, so.
So you're like XTX, kind of.
Yeah, XTX. Yeah, like, XTX, like, I respect, lots of respect for her. And I also understand where she's coming from, because she sounds like she has, like, a normal job and is, like, a normal person, but, like, writes these insane crazy things, and she's like, you know what, I like having a career that seems cool. Mm-hmm. I have a career that has absolutely nothing to do with writing, so that's good. Like if I wrote like ad copy or something, I don't know if I could write the way I do as Beach Sloth, because I would feel burned out.
But like, do you think like if your real name was out there that you would get like canceled or you lose a job or something just because of your past writing?
I don't really think so. I don't think I write anything that controversial. Anything that I like am willing to write in the blog, I'm probably usually able to say in person as well. I'm pretty blunt. I'm pretty nice too. I'm not like in person, I'm pretty nice. On the blog, I'm pretty nice. So it's, you know, kind of same sort of personality. You might be like, oh, he's a little weirder than I thought, but like, it wouldn't be anything that'd be super outlandish. Like,
have you beefed with anyone?
I think like one or two people. I can't even remember their names.
Are they even around?
I don't even think they're around anymore. So, like, if I beefed with them or if they beefed with me, like, it's all cool. I forgive them. Or if I beef with them, I hope they forgive me. I don't remember it, but it probably wasn't a big deal if I can't even remember their names at this point. But there was never anyone really bad.
Are there any conspiracies that Theo has talked to you about that you believe in?
That Theo?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, first of all, Theo is a joy. I actually showed Theo's writing to a friend of mine, someone who knows me in real life and knows that I am a writer, and has read like my like creative writing and knows me in person too. Mm-hmm. And they read Theo's work and they're like, Theo kind of like seems inspired by you. And I'm like, oh, cool. Cause this was like a totally third party, didn't know Theo at all. So I was like, oh, sweet. I don't know if there's any conspiracies that Theo's posited that I believe in. I also don't check the chat too much. I usually go in there to be like drinking water, drinking coffee, or to like throw in a like music link there. And then I usually get a fire react and then I kind of ignore it for a couple weeks and then I'll return to it. Mm-hmm. I like Theo though. Theo's hilarious. He's like the goofball anarchist guy is how I consider him.
When did you first meet Theo?
Oh wow, that was a long time ago. Damn, that might have been like 2012. So okay. Like, yeah, 12 years ago. Like, yeah, he was a little baby then. Now he's like older.
Was that at Mellow Pages?
I think that was at Mellow Pages. Yeah, he's just like a really funny guy in person. He kind of like, I feel like a lot of his writing online is like pretty much how he is in person. Like, he's pretty goofy. He's really silly. You don't really know what he takes seriously and what he doesn't take seriously. Like, he's gotten banned off like websites for like trolling. Like, I don't know. He's a legend.
Were you let down to see Mellow Pages like go away?
I was sad. That one made me sad. That like all those people who ran Mellow Pages were good people. They're all good folks. I like them a lot, and they seem to be doing well because I will occasionally like check up on people, and it seems like one of them has like kids and like lives in the wilderness and like chops trees down and like catches fish. I'm like, cool, that's cool, you live off the grid, kind of like solid. A lot of people did that. Like,
is that Matt Nelson? He lives in the forest.
I think that's Matt Nelson. And then yeah, there were like a few people that ran it behind the scenes and they were all like really good people. So they all kind of like came from like more rural areas. Like, I grew up in New York City. So
oh, you did? Like, you're in New
York? Yeah, I grew up in New York. So yeah, I grew up in New York City as a kid. So that's why like the whole anytime there's like a big news story in New York, I'll tend to like tune in just to see like what's going on. Like, and anytime the NYPD are like incompetent, I'll like pay close attention, because I grew up with my parents like raised me to like not like trust the police at all, like period.
So
like,
when you were growing up, did you go to like the Macy's Thanksgiving parade?
Yeah, I went to that. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Yeah, so I like
did every all the, year.
Like, we would go some years. Like I think this year it rained or something, or it's like really cold, and I'm like, yeah, we wouldn't have gone that year. But like, I remember like going when it was like 60 degrees out. I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, like people going there in the rain. I'm like, I wouldn't do that. Like, it's pretty easy for me to get there. It was from where I was living in New York. It was pretty I didn't live in Manhattan, but I lived in like Queens, so it wasn't like that hard to get there. And we went there in person.
So what was it New York like pre 9/11, like in the 90s?
Oh man, it was so dirty. I loved it though. Like, I really loved the dirtiness. It kind of made me sad because I feel like it like had this like grodiness that I like really miss like a lot. Like, it was really just a lovely place. I remember like how like decrepit everything was, but I also remember really liking how decrepit everything was. I remember driving with my parents through Manhattan and they saw all these like Gen Xers run underneath a chain link fence into this abandoned building, and they were like clearly rave kids. They were like very clearly rave kids. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so obvious even to my old parents that they were rave kids. I'm like, that's so cool, I'd love to do that. Like, that seems awesome. And then when I got to be like that age, like, it was kind of gentrified. I'm like, oh fuck.
That'd be cool to hear stories from that age, from that time.
It was not, yeah, and I did grow up listening to like those stories a little bit about like all the like insane, like mind melting shit that happened, because some of my friends lived in Manhattan, like grew up in Manhattan, so like I would hang out in their lofts that were like rent controlled, and I'm like, oh, this rules. But then basically what happened with like every person I know who had rent control, they were basically like bought out of rent control so they could re-rent it. So that's
so where did your parents come from and how they end up in New York?
My dad came from Massachusetts. Well, my dad came from a lot of places. My dad didn't grow up in the United States. He grew up overseas. He grew up in China and India.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lived, I don't think he lived in the United States until he was like 11. So he lived overseas for like most of his like childhood, or almost all of his childhood, because by 12 you're like an adolescent. And then my mom grew up in New Jersey, so that wasn't as exciting. That's pretty normal. That wasn't a big stretch. But they were, yeah, they both just like met. They just like lived in New York. They both, my mom lived in Manhattan, my dad lived in Queens. Queens is just cheaper, so that's why I grew up in Queens, because like Manhattan, like even by the time they had me, probably Manhattan was probably pretty sketchy, but it got nicer. It got like way nicer.
What did they do for jobs as like a living?
So my dad was a psychologist, so that was pretty cool. So he actually, I feel like a lot of the writing that I do now is probably inspired by him, I guess. And he read a lot of my writing. And he found it really funny. Like I'd read some of my blog posts or whatever to him, or some of my poems, and he would like crack up. And he was like a tough crowd. So to like get him to like genuinely laugh was like kind of my goal. So I kind of just did that. And same thing with my mom, where they're both like, you are weird.
So like the alt-lit thing, did they kind of get it since they like grew up in New York, or like?
Yeah, they both kind of got it. So like when I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a weird experimental writer, they're like, oh cool, all right. They're like, we don't know how this happened. Cause like, I just ended up being artsy. Like they didn't like steer me towards any profession or anything of that nature. The only thing they knew about me growing up was I talked a lot.
And so I could, did you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have one sister who, interestingly, is also involved in, well, was involved in alt-lit in like a surprising way. Like there's people that we both know, but we didn't introduce the other to the person.
Like who?
So there, like one person, Olivia Lilly, like my sister knows, and I know, and we're like, how did you know them? And like, we met them in totally different ways. So Olivia Lilly's probably like the only person out of all of like alt-lit, like the entire superstructure, that actually knows that I have a sister and knows like who we are. I don't think anybody else does. I think she's the linchpin. So yeah. But
so when you were growing up in New York, did you go to like a public school?
Yeah, I went to a public school. Yeah, I grew up. Yeah, I went to public schools. The only exception was high school. And then that was like a Catholic school.
Was Hey Arnold like a great depiction of New York?
I thought it was pretty honest. Honestly, it like made me feel happy. Like there's like a few shows that like give me those like warm fuzzies. Hey Arnold was definitely like one of them. Like that made me like, I was like, okay, this is so much what I remember. Like I hate Friends. Like I thought Friends was bullshit. Cause I'm like, I don't know anyone who lives this nicely. Mm-hmm. Like they lived like too nicely, and it like always aggravated me.
What about 30 Rock?
30 Rock was actually not too bad. Like, cause like those people were all rich and stuff, but like the humor was pretty down pat. Like the level of like cynicism and like sarcasm. Cause I feel like I'm sarcastic now, and I feel like sometimes it like, where I have a dry wit, and I feel like I live in the Midwest now, and sometimes it like is lost on people, and they like don't realize I'm being sarcastic, and they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, it's sarcasm. I'm sorry. Fuck. Like I'm trying to be better. Like, but yeah, no, I'd say like, there's definitely like a New York style of humor that like, that every time I go back to New York, it feels like a little bit like my stomach's unknotted. Like, oh, I can just be a bit of a jerk. Not an awful jerk, but just a little bit. Just like a little poke, you know.
Like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Theo. Like Theo honestly is like, does embody kind of like a lot of the New Yorkers that I grew up with, where he's like, he's dirty. He's like kind of a hot mess. like, I don't know how he supports himself, but he's like been able to feed himself this long. So good for him. He's a little chaotic. And then like sometimes things work out for him for like for an inexplicable reason. So Theo is like kind of like quintessential New Yorker, I'd say, even though he grew up in Massachusetts, but I'll grant him that. He gets honorary native New Yorker from me.
So when you were coming up in New York, did you ever want to write for television or do anything in entertainment?
I thought about that a little bit. Yeah, there's like definitely like a few instances where I got very, very close to doing that. I think there would have been, I don't know if that would have been a good idea or not, though, because it might have burned me out or might have made me like control my Twitter. Now I don't need to control my Twitter or what I say online. I'm like, I don't care. It's never going to come back to me. I'm pretty nice anyway, but still. But there are a few instances where, yeah, I would have worked for like a lifestyle magazine in New York or some sort of magazine, which would have been kind of cool. It would have been neat. I would have been basically running all of their social media accounts because I interviewed for a few jobs that did that.
What year?
That was probably like 2014. And then okay. I ended up doing something. I pivoted towards working for New York City Civil Service, which was perfect. It felt like it's probably my favorite job of all time because I was like so anonymous. It felt great.
What did you do in that job?
I worked with like universities and helped people get like education. I helped people get like free like college educations, free master's degrees, and free PhDs. So if you needed like to get like scholarship aid or something, I would be the person you'd speak to.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Me among like hundreds of other people, but I was involved in making you make sure you paid the least amount of money. So universities tended to not like me, but people who went to school liked me. So I don't care if like NYU doesn't like me. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so that's also why you asked earlier if somebody found out who I was in real life in my real job, would they be offended? Like, honestly, no. It would probably, like, everybody would be like, yeah, no, that tracks. Because, like, I'm not very nice to academia. I feel like the only people I'm kind of mean towards in my writing is academia. And that's just because I've had, like, a lot of exposure to it. So I really have, like, I have a displeasure towards it because it seems very hypocritical that they charge people exorbitant sums, but then also pretend to, like, be compassionate when they're not. It's just,
do you think it should be free?
Yes, 100% yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I am 100% of that opinion where I'm like, I would even say that there's like industries where I'm like, where people are like, well, they're inherently worse. I'm like, but they kind of own it though. They're not like trying to pretend like they're doing a good thing here. Like they're evil. Like mm-hmm. I think some people bring up tobacco companies. I'm like, well, they're pretty upfront about being evil. Like like alcohol company like Budweiser or something. Like they know what they're doing. Like I'm not going to... Like, you know what alcohol does to you. People have known that for, like, several millennia. Like, it's not a secret, okay? Like,
are there any secrets you can share about academia that we wouldn't know?
I think, like, the fact that a lot of them are a lot more conservative than you would ever guess. Like, and I think some of it's, like, even writers that people idolize that I'm like, you know, they were very conservative people in real life. Like, I think, like, sometimes... you forget that like someone can write radical texts and then like live a life that's totally divorced from that radicalized text.
Mm-hmm.
I think like William S. Burroughs, cause people are like, he was like a very like radical dude in a lot of ways, but he was also like, he had a trust fund his whole life. Like he didn't have to support himself until his like 70s or 80s. And then by then he had a career cause he was just so old like that he had it. And he lived in like Lawrence, Kansas. But like he was a trust fund brat for like the majority of his life. So when people are like, oh yeah, he was so like, he was the proper leftist. I'm like, he was probably the exact opposite of that. Like he just didn't like work. Like that's all. like he mugged people. He was not a good
dude. He mugged people?
Yeah. Yeah. In the book Junkie, because I read a lot of his work. Like I thought he was an interesting writer when I was younger. Like in the book Junkie, which is like the first book he wrote, which is probably one of his funnier books because he's like still kind of like, he didn't become like as bitter yet. But yeah, he would like beat people up in the subway who had like passed out drunk on the subway and he would just steal their money and use that to buy heroin. I was like, oh, wow, you're kind of a piece of shit.
Why didn't he just take the money from his trust fund to buy heroin?
Because I don't know, because he just wanted to live nicer than he was. He wanted to live nicer than what he could afford. So, yeah, mm-hmm. So that's why I was always like, this seems suspicious. Like, he didn't mention that trust fund part in that book at all. Like, he's not like, oh, yeah, I just went to the post office and picked up the check that mommy and daddy sent over to me. Like, no, mm-hmm. like, you're not going to mention that because you want to seem like a badass. But if you read his, like, about him in his life, like, he was part of the Burroughs typing machine trust. So he had a trust fund. He was literally a trust fund brat. Like, and he just wanted to live nicer, and heroin was expensive, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never got into it. So
I've seen writers do heroin.
I have not. I've seen writers do like drugs and drink and stuff, but I don't really do that. I tend to be like kind of boring and like dull with that. Like, I think I've even spoken with Theo about this, where Theo's like, Diet Coke is good. And I'm like, Diet Coke is gross. Like, that stuff tastes like ass. Like, I don't know.
So where were you on 9/11 if you grew up in Manhattan?
I was in gym class. I remember exactly where I was for 9/11, which is insane. I was in gym class, and I remember making a joke about it, which in hindsight was like probably fucked up, but I feel like all my friends would probably like be like, nah, that's probably the guy who would have done it. I remember like we heard about the first plane crashing into the towers, and I'm like, man, that guy needs to go to like the eye doctor because he just crashed into a fucking building. And like my friends sounded funny. And then we heard about the second plane, and I'm like, oh, I kind of feel like a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, drop the first joke in like 0.30 seconds. And like school let out like really early for me too. I think we like got out of school at like 11 a.m. and the teachers didn't tell us anything. They're like, you guys can go home. Everything's okay. And we're like, what is going on here? Like, it was so weird. All our teachers smelled of weed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our teachers were like stoned out of their minds because they were freaking out. And like, okay. We didn't know what was going on. So we're like, why is everyone like this? And I remember even walking home from school because I could just walk home because it's like New York, so everything's walkable. And I was like, what happened today? And everyone's like, oh, you should watch the news. So I'm like, but I'm not at home yet, so I can't. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just know something bad happened, I'm assuming. Wait,
were there people like out in the streets like freaking out though?
Oh no, everyone was like, people were like outside in the streets freaking out. People were like all over the place, like kind of freaking out. I was just trying to get like an answer, and I was mm-hmm. like, I don't know what's going on at all because everybody seems like very frazzled. Mm-hmm. And this was before, like, you know, we had smartphones or like widespread internet access. So I'm like, I have no idea. Like, and then my mom worked in another borough, so she couldn't even get to like Queens until like way late at night. So I found out from my dad what was going on. He's like, oh yeah, like 9/11, like two planes crashed into the Twin Towers. And I'm like, oh, why didn't no one tell me this? And he's like, I don't know. We didn't want to upset you. I'm like, you freaked me out. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, my mom, I think, got home like at 10 or 11 p.m. that day because, like, she was supposed to be home at like 4 or 5. She got, like, I had like the whole afternoon off, which was awesome. So mm-hmm. I was just watching TV and I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Like, it was like, I think it like dawned on me as soon as I just turned on the TV and like I called my dad because I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And yeah, it was like super fucked, but it was also like very surreal. It felt like that was like a really weird day. I remember this is a beautiful day. It was like gorgeous. It was like the beginning of our school year and it was like perfect. Like it was like 68 degree weather, like clear blue skies. I'm like, the weather seems fine. Everything seems good. The only thing I noticed though is like, there are no planes flying in the sky. Cause like they would like end your conversation. Like you would just like have to be quiet for a few seconds.
So when did you move away from New York?
2017. So right before COVID hit. So I moved from New York. Basically, New York just got like too expensive for me to live. And I was like, I kind of want to do other things with my life besides like just barely pay rent and stuff. I like want to have like a life and career and stuff. And I probably could have, honestly, I probably could have kept doing what I was doing in New York indefinitely, basically. Or if I like wanted to get married or have kids or do like anything else or even own a house, like I was going to have to leave New York. So I think mm-hmm. I like ended up like pulling off the Band-Aid, and I'm like, all right, I'll go leave New York. And it was like a really hard thing for me to do, because I had never really, the only other place I'd ever really lived was like Baltimore, and I really liked Baltimore, so that was like one of the few places I considered. But I moved to the Midwest, and I've just been out here for a while, I guess, for like a couple
of
years.
Was it a big like culture shock change?
Yeah, it was a huge culture shock. I was not used to it at all. I was like, I remember bringing in like salmon cream cheese, and everyone was like, why is this not strawberry? They're like, this tastes like fish, like this is bad. And I'm like, that's like lox, do you not know what lox is? And they're like, no, like don't do this fucked up like New York shit to us again. And I'm like, okay,
I've never heard of that.
What, strawberry cream cheese
or lox or salmon?
Oh yeah, you put like salmon, you put like salmon on your bagels. Yeah, I still do that now. Oh. Like yeah, it's, I guess it is like,
is
very
it good?
Regional. I mean, if you like salmon, yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but if you're a vegetarian, probably not. But I grew up with that. So it didn't even strike me as a weird thing. Like I was like freaked out that like strawberry cream cheese existed. I'm like, I never heard of this shit. Like, what is this? But
I mean, I've heard of that, but
like, I never heard of that.
So you go to the bagel shop and you can order like salmon on your bagel.
You can put lox. Yeah, it's just like, it's like kind of like this salted like salmon that's like cured, and it tastes really good on it. Like puts a little bit of protein on the bagel and it's good. Yeah, like it's.
So did you move to like Arizona or Utah or?
So I lived in like a few different states. I live in Illinois now, but I lived in like a few different places. But Illinois is probably like the place I like the most, because it kind of feels like a nice, it feels like kind of like a mixture of every place I've ever lived. So, but like in the best way possible, like it's not that liberal or conservative or hot or cold or cheap or expensive. It's like all pretty like reasonable. And I also have good Italian food here, which was
You go to readings down there still?
Oh, in Chicago? I should. Yeah. I haven't been to any readings in Chicago. I did go to, I could go to a reading at some point in Chicago. I haven't been to a reading yet.
Do you know if you went to any readings, do you think you'd recognize anyone down there?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, you, yeah?
Yeah, no, I know like a lot of people in Chicago. I've just been like kind of like I haven't been antisocial. I've just been like fixing where I live, in buying like furniture for it and trying to save money and get my credit score back to normal and just try to like stabilize my life. Cause I think like from 2017 to 2024 was just like pure chaos for me. So I think like 2024 is like the first year where I'm starting to feel like I'm evening out, I guess.
Why was it chaotic?
A whole bunch of reasons, just like a lot of big life events. Like my dad passed.
Oh, man, sorry.
A few friends like just passed too that I like really liked, or like they disappointed me, or you know, one of the two. So yeah, a whole bunch of stuff like that. So I think this year finally things have like become normal again, sort of. Like this is the first year in like a really long time where I feel like kind of settled. It's like chaotic but settled at the same time, which feels like, I don't know, it seems like a strange paradox, but I don't know. Like I was just seeing everybody come together lately over all the insane political stuff and all the insane every other thing. Because I guess I've been like pretty apathetic for the past couple of years, and I guess I'm like, I got like prodded awake, and I'm like, oh yeah, I should care. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I feel like people are going to turn apathetic now that Trump's in office.
I think so. I was kind of afraid that was going to happen, but I feel like honestly, like the CEO thing ended up, I feel like it ended up being like a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be.
That is like, true.
Like I didn't think, like I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be like a 1 minute like news story. No one's going to give a shit. And it's like had such longevity. Like I've even gotten like messages for, from like my like, like, you know, friends or parents or, you know, whomever. And they're like, I'm like, who is supporting the CEO? It seems like his family, but kind of like,
it's like the news stations. I think that's the only people.
I think that's it. Cause yeah, I haven't paid attention to the news for like years. So I'm like just seeing the online reaction. I'm like, man, the online is like, so together, we're in this together. Like this, weird Christmas gift. Like, maybe it's tasteless. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. Considering, like, the number of people I've lost, like, due to, like, health insurance. Because, like, I have friends who are my age, and I'm young. I don't know. No one ever gets my age right, and you don't have to. It's okay.
Is it 35?
Yeah, you're actually not too far off. Not too far mm-hmm. off. But there's people who are, like, my age who have pacemakers. Like,
oh, really?
And, like, wow. Yeah, like people have, like, legitimately bad health. Like, I'm very lucky that I'm as healthy as I am. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, they almost didn't get a pacemaker because they were deemed to be medically not necessary. And I'm like, that's, like, literally a heart replacement. Like, I cannot think of a thing that you could, like, try to – like, that is, like, the most essential thing you should have in your body is a heart.
Yeah.
Like, so that's why I think, like – I think everybody has that story, though, where they, like – know somebody who had that mm-hmm. like or had that happen to a friend or relative or whomever. So I think that's why, like, there's this, like, very much coming together moment. I'm like, it's so weird, though. I'm like, this is the thing that brought you together. I'm like, our society is pretty fucked up. But, like, and the few people that I know, there's one person who had, like, the worst take on Twitter, and I'm not gonna drag him because he deleted his tweet, but There are people who are saying this is the worst take of all time, and he deleted it pretty quickly after. And he was someone who, like, always does, like, the contrarian thing. And it's not Theo. I'm not going to – because it's not Theo. I will say mm-hmm. it's anyone else on Earth but Theo. It's not Theo because Theo would never be this crass. But it was something like – it was just very, like, insulting, and it was – I was like, man, that is not the take, and he deleted it. And like several of my friends were like, we still screenshotted that shit, though. We're not going to make him forget.
Who was it?
Oh, I wanted. No, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice.
Was it an alt lit guy? Was it Tal Lin?
No, it wasn't even Tal Lin, actually. It was not. Okay, so it's not Tal Lin and it's not Theo. You're not going to guess who it is because it's not like
Butler?
No, Butler's okay. Tasteful. Butler's like aggressive online, but he would never. It was someone that, like, is not as well known, but it was still such a bad take because they were like, oh yeah, it was something so bad, and I'm like, I'm just gonna, like, several people screenshotted it, so it will pop up at some point, I'm sure, where they try to pretend that they were like, oh, I was always in favor, and we're like, nah.
When's the last time they published something?
Oh, it's been a while. So they like haven't published anything for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Don't guess. I know.
Do they work for a magazine?
I like that you're trying. I like this process of elimination you're going through. It's really, really a real joy. But no, it was bad. But for the most part, everybody else has been pretty much, like, on board. Like, yeah. And then everything he does is, like, really insane, too. They're like, he got away on a bicycle. And then and they're like, we think he left the city. And everyone's like, you're the worst police department ever. Mm-hmm. Why are you? Because they get, like, $5 billion a year. They get billions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And they're, like, totally useless in this case. Because usually what they do is they'll have tips from the public. But this is, like, a rare instance where everyone in the public's like, no, don't be that shitty guy. Don't be that guy. And even people who have, like, tried to rat out the shooter have gotten death threats where, like, mm-hmm. everyone's like, even people who might want to help are like, you know what? Nope, not going to touch it. Nope.
Well, like, some guy had, like, the data of, like, every city bike that day.
Oh, yeah, that guy was such a dork.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we got lots of death threats. I'm like, don't be a narc.
Yeah.
Like, don't be a narc. Don't be a piece of shit. I'm like, oh, cool. You can do all this data crunching, like go use that in your resume or something. Don't advertise that on Twitter. Okay. Just keep that shit to yourself. Maybe you can go work for, like, a startup in, like, Dumbo or something. Like, you don't need to be broadcasting this information.
Do you think if you planned an assassin that you could pull it off, like an assassination?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so dark. I don't know. I would say probably not.
You seem really smart, though. You seem, like, probably smarter than a lot of the alt-lit people.
Yeah. It'd be really funny if, like, the person who did this was in alt-lit, and, like, I reviewed their book, and I was like, this is a great book. And then I'm like, oh, I reviewed that guy before he became, like, you know, a folk hero. Because there's definitely, like, a few people from alt-lit who I'm like, they're going to become, like, there's going to be, like, a decade or two from now where they're going to be like super chaotic, and I'm going to be here for it. I think like,
did you ever meet like any writers and you thought, oh, I'm a lot smarter than these dorks?
Yes. Yeah, but that's okay. Like, I also have, I have like a really weird like skill set outside of writing. Like, I have a background in history and political science that I never use or I barely reference in my writing. And then there's other writers who are like just trying to show off how intelligent they are. Like, I think there's been a few where they like had a very like surface level historical.
So what interest in political science? Like, what's the specific interest?
I think just like in general, like how society functions and how it can be like dysfunctional and functional and kind of more on like a micro level. So I think like a lot of people are more interested in like politics on like, you know, a 1,000-foot like viewpoint, whereas I was kind of more interested in like maybe more like the like immediate village or town level or municipality level. So that was kind of what I studied. And I also studied like a lot of like class inequality. So it's the other thing I wrote about. And I think I would usually like, I wrote some very spicy political science report papers and stuff in college. And that'd always be like very, I don't know. I was like, I guess the college I went to was like liberal and conservative at the same time, but I was just very far left. So I was very like out of sync with everyone. So I think I just did well because I was so contrarian. So I guess that's why I appreciate the contrarian like viewpoint that people have. Even if I don't agree with it, I'm like, well, you took a stance. It's a bold stance. It's wrong. I think you're wrong and stupid for thinking that. But, you know, you're free to have that opinion.
Did you go to graduate school?
Yeah, I have a graduate degree in finance. So I have I have an MBA in finance, which is also totally not my personality, but I wanted a good job and I needed more money and I wanted to like support myself. Like,
have you considered now going and getting an MFA?
No, never considered getting an MFA. No, a lot of people have. And I'm like the only person I think out of a lot of writers who are like, I'm probably never going to get an MFA like in my entire life. Anytime I hear someone getting an MFA, I'm like, yo, teach my writing in your class. Like, that'd be cool. Like, that'd be
tight. Why haven't you considered getting one?
I just really don't like academia a lot. Like, think academia seems very hypocritical. Like, even when you read about like philosophers who have written like ad copy and people are like, why would you do that? Why would you sell out? And I think it was Zizek, like the like Slovenian anarchist who wrote about it. And I think he wrote like Anacrabian Fitch copy, which is like the most insane thing ever. And they're like, this is so dishonest. And he's like, actually, academia is more dishonest than Anacrabian Fitch. I'm just describing khakis here. Like, the other ones I'm supposed to pretend like I'm a, like, holier-than-thou person. So I find this, like, less disingenuous. And he's like, and I wanted a new Mercedes. And I'm like, all right, respect, you know? That's totally honest. I appreciate that level of honesty. So
would you ever, like, do your own workshops, like, online and run them yourself?
Actually, that I would consider doing. That I actually would consider doing, like, I feel like if I ever got to like a level where I was wealthy enough to have a scholarship, which I don't think will ever happen in my lifetime. But if it did, if like I won the lottery or something and I had money to give for a scholarship, it'd probably be like for whatever people like had like political activism or like got arrested for political activism. And I'd just like award that for basically like troublemaking. Like,
have you had any incidents with the New York Police Department yourself?
Me, no, but I always just disliked their heavy-handedness, and a lot of my friends did have bad experiences with them, and I'm just like, you know, you guys, like, have real crime to solve rather than, like, this bullshit about, like, turn tile, like, jumpers or all this, like, or shoplifters or all this other totally useless crime. Like, you know, there's murderers out there. Like, get them. Like, don't waste your time with this bullshit.
So. Have you seen anything crazy? What's the craziest thing you've seen go down in New York?
Oh man, there's a lot. I don't even know what. I mean, I remember reading, like, when I was like a kid or something, I was like obsessed with reading the newspaper, which my parents were like okay with, except for sometimes I'd read like articles I shouldn't have read, I remember reading like one article where it was like someone was found beheaded in a dumpster. Whoa. And then the police were like, no foul play was suggested. And I remember showing this to my parents, and my parents were like, no, there was foul play. Like, that person like is lacking a head. Like, yeah, something very bad clearly happened. That's not like a normal thing. And I'm like, wow. And I think, and my parents were like, this is why you don't trust cops, because they're not going to solve your case. Like, this person does not have a head. I don't know if they found it. I don't know if they even had a follow-up. But they're like, this person's head was not found, and like, they didn't do follow-up or anything. So I'm like, they are so useless. Like,
yeah. Like, when you were a teenager, where'd you go like hang out?
I hung out mostly like on the Lower East Side. So I did hang out at the Knitting Factory back when it was in Chinatown. So like off Canal Street. So that was kind of neat. It was like it's a club. It's now in Williamsburg. But it was like in Chinatown, Lower East Side area. Right. And then there was another club that no longer exists. I think it's like a CVS, which is insane, but it was like a very experimental music club. And it was really fun to go to because all the people there were just psychopaths, and I really appreciated it. Like, I went to a noise concert there once, and there was this guy who was like a insane person. He's like, do you guys like Smashing Pumpkins? And like, all of us are like, no, we don't, we're clearly at a noise concert. And then he's like, no, that's not what I mean. And he took like a pumpkin, threw it on the floor, took off his clothing, and then just rolled around in it for like 5 minutes as we listened to like feedback from the microphone. And we're like, oh, this is cool, all right, yeah, we like
this. He did that on stage.
Yeah, he did that on stage. It wasn't a big venue. Like, it was probably about the size of like a drugstore. Like, it was a small venue. Like, I see why it failed. Like, it was not commercially viable at all. Yeah. Like, that was the kind of shit that went down there. And like, they would have a lot of like really experimental artists would go there. So I think I saw Mertzbau there. I think I saw like Nick Forte, a bunch of other like artists, and that all just like go there. And it was fun. They were really fun concerts. Like, I think I had some of my favorite concerts of all time were there. They were just like, because the audience was really nice, and they would let you get in there like with no ID whatsoever. I think I went in there with like a library card, and they're like, good enough. I'm like, that's so sad. Yeah.
So did you ever want to be in a band?
I wrote music. Like, I actually wrote music. I've written like a few albums. Like, all of them are weird droney stuff. So I don't like write music that has like beats or anything. I just write like weird droney stuff. And I think, and then I also used to be a radio DJ too. So I used to have a radio show. 2003 to 2006. So I had a radio show for about.
Where?
WUSB 89.9, I think, is the frequency. I can't remember it because it's been so long. But yeah, I would play like really weird stuff. And the only people who ever called my show were always like tripping on acid. And they're like, thanks for the great tunes. And they're like, I'm on acid. And because they like always told me, it wasn't like I had to guess. They would like volunteer this information. And they're like, this 22 minute long Philip Glass song you played was lit. And I'm like, cool, thank you.
Could you just play anything you wanted?
I could play whatever I wanted. Like, I mostly, like, most of the music I listen to is instrumental, so I didn't have to worry about, like, lyrics or anything. I just play, like...
How'd you get the gig?
I just, like, gave them, so I had to, like, kind of, like, know how, like, turntables and, like, cassette tapes and CD decks and other stuff worked, and then I would just, and then I just basically, like, made, like, a little, like, what was it, like, a hour mix on the cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was pretty good, actually. I liked it. Yeah.
You didn't use a CD? You used a cassette?
I used CDs. I used an iPod. I used all sorts of, I used my iPod. I used my, I used lots of stuff. So yeah, it would be kind of like a whole mix of like mixed media. So it was pretty nice. Yeah. And they just like, I mean, it was a college radio station, so they don't really have much rules there.
Would you ever do your own radio show again?
Yes, definitely. But yeah, but.
So were there any leaving parting words you would like to say?
I'd be happy to come back as a group with like other people. I'd come back with Theo. Theo is awesome. He's a really funny dude. I'd be on a call with him, definitely.
Do you have any crazy stories of him?
I feel like all the stories with Theo are crazy. Like, that's kind of why he's such, like, a delight. He's such a delightful character. And he was always fun. And he's also, like, really jokey. He has, like, a really good sense of humor. Because I feel like a lot of the writers I hung out with were always, like, very, like, stoic. And he was really goofy.
Did you go to Catch Fest ever?
I never went to Catch Fest. I went to one AWP in L.A., and that one was a lot of fun. So I want to go to another AWP.
Austin Islam or Paul Hanson-Clark?
I met Paul Hanson-Clark a number of times. I really like Paul Hanson-Clark. He's a very chill dude, and I like him a lot. He's really, really nice. And he goes above and beyond for people. So I'll leave it at that, but he's a really nice guy. I like Paul Hanson-Clark.
Oh, well, big words.
Yeah. He's a chill dude.
Did he do something nice for you?
Yeah, I think I was like interviewing for some jobs and he drove me around a little bit to like get to a job interview. So
oh, really? Like in New York or the Midwest?
When I went to the this was in Nebraska. So this was like I almost moved to Nebraska, which would have been a totally wild timeline to be on, but he's a very cool guy. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would recommend. I'd recommend whole bunch of people. I mean, Theo, Neon Glittery, who lives in like Arkansas, Lucy K. Shaw, though I'm sure your listeners are familiar with Shabby Dollhouse.
Oh yeah,
they work really hard. Talon's Moo House, Scott McClellan.
Did you meet Talon?
I met Talon like a few times. He's a pretty decent. He's an okay guy. He's an okay dude. I don't think I had like much interaction with him besides like just saying hi and introducing myself as Beach Sloth. Beyond that, not much else happened.
Did he freak out when you said you're Beach Sloth?
I don't think Talon freaks out at much.
Oh, he wasn't like a fanatic of you.
No, I was like, I know who you are, and I'm like, okay. He sees like a lot of people though. Like he's met a bunch of people.
Did you ever meet Stacey Teague?
I met Stacey Teague. She's really tall. She was like...
Wait, Stacey Teague's tall?
Yeah, Stacey Teague's tall. She doesn't look tall. That's because she's always standing next to, like, Jackson Newland.
Oh. Is Stacey Teague, like, 6'4 or something?
She's, like, 5'10 or 5'11. She's pretty tall. Like, okay. They're all tall there. I don't know why New Zealand has such tall people. But everyone I've met from New Zealand has been, like, towering over me. So I don't
Have
know
you ever been to New Zealand? There.
No, it's definitely a place I want to go. I'd love to go there.
Definitely go to New Zealand. They probably have nice... What's the best beach you've been to?
Probably in Malaysia.
I guess I'll let you go then.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. All right, man. Thanks for letting me talk.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye.
We'll see you.
All right, take care.